We're continuing on in our series, Colossians chapter 1. We're continuing on in our series. We have been going. I don't like to go back and overlap because it just takes so much time and we've got so much territory to cover. So we started with God before the creation of heaven and earth, the invisible God, all alone, the only eternal being. And we have brought him on up through creation of angels. Then we've created the earth. Then we found the fall, the war in heaven between Michael and Lucifer, and how those angels then were that stayed with Lucifer would be what we call fallen angels or demon powers that stayed with Lucifer's side. They were apparently, according to the way we can put it together, they were sent to earth then for some kind of further testing in flesh. And then that whole thing failed and the earth was judged and flooded with water and condemned and left sitting in the atmosphere in total darkness. And then we get to Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, and the earth was without form and void, darkness over the face of the deep. That's not creation. That's millions of years from creation, but that's the way it was at the time of Eden. And so now God is going to bring an Eden out of this darkness. Now, my scriptures we're going to read pertain to darkness. So I want you to comprehend what it meant for the earth to be left enshrouded in darkness. That's judgment. That's separation from God, because God is light. And so to be chained into darkness, or chains of darkness, as we'll read, that's total separation from God. No illumination, no life, no light. Colossians 1:12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Delivered from the power of darkness, inheritance with the saints in light. Now, I'll give you more scriptures in a moment, but let's have a word of prayer. I'll let you be seated, and then we'll continue on. Heavenly Father, as we have given a little report of what's going on overseas, now, Lord, we want to enter into the Word. Take us into it, Lord, not just surface print on the page of a Bible and we intellectually see the print, but God, give us your thoughts, your concepts behind this, that we can see what you're unveiling, for you are your Word. So may your Spirit of revelation come, not only ministering from the pulpit, but touching the hearts of the people, and open the Word in a way that just maybe they've never seen it before, and may it become life and reality to them. We ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Darkness, power of darkness. I'll read these to you. It's only one verse, so you don't have to turn to it. In Luke 22:53, it says, Jesus speaking, when I was daily with you in the temple, you stretched forth no hands against me, but this is your hour and the power of darkness. And the power of darkness. That's the only two times in the scripture I can find where that total term, power of darkness, is used. So in going to the concordance on darkness, it says darkness, the night of darkness, darkened eyesight, blindness, in metaphorical use, ignorance of divine things and human duties, the accompanying ungodliness and immorality, together with their consequent misery. Persons in whom darkness becomes visible and holds sway. Darkness becomes visible. You watch what they go to. Like I mentioned the other day, find a bar that's got glass all the way around it. You don't do that. It's in darkness. Find the normal discos with the flashing lights and the smoke in the room. You don't find it in with big windows. Darkness. And so all these things that those spirits love to be in, it's darkness. And so then the power of darkness. And when I looked up the word power, we had studied this several years ago, exousia. And that means an authority that's been given to a person. That Jesus, they ask him, where do you get this authority? Where do you get this power to do this healing, to do these things? And so it's an authority that is given from a higher power. Are we staying together now? So it's an authority that's given by a higher power. If the president of the United States commissioned me to go represent them, maybe as an ambassador in some country, then I've got the whole of the government behind me because I've been empowered by the government. Are you with me? So it's that kind of power. Now, the power of darkness, the word is translated power 69 times, authority 29 times, right 2 times, liberty 1 time, jurisdiction 1 time, and strength 1 time. But part of the definition is the power of authority or influence and of a right. The power of rule or government, the power of him whose will and command must be submitted to by others and obeyed. The power of darkness must be submitted to and obeyed. When you're in darkness, must be submitted to and obeyed. And we've been delivered from that.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Another definition says, a subject to authority or rule, jurisdiction, one who possesses authority, a ruler, a magistrate, the leading or more powerful among created beings, superior to man, spiritual potentates, or the sign of regal authority, like a crown. So that's the power that lies in darkness. Now, that's going to mean more to you now as we're going to go into the God bringing earth out of darkness, God bringing your soul out of darkness. You'll find the patterns now. We'll see the patterns run identical. Again, another single verse, 2 Peter 2:4. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, no further access to light. Jude 1:6. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. So obviously that era of darkness is another dimension than the presence of God. Are you following that? When we taught on dimensions just a couple services back. And you remember, we live in the first three dimensions, light, matter, and time. But we're limited to those dimensions. We can't see, comprehend, get a hold of anything outside of the dimensions of light, matter, and time. The fourth dimension, which we cannot see, can't grab with our hands, is radio, television, and science dabbles in that realm. We can't see it, but we use it. Radio waves passing through the room. Can't see it, but we use it. Television pictures passing through the room, can't see it, can't take a hold of it, but we use it. So that's the fourth dimension. We dabble into that realm. The fifth dimension is the souls that are lost and demon powers. So these angels that were in the presence of God have been relegated to the fifth dimension, darkness. The sixth dimension is souls under the altar, as you will find in Revelations chapter 6. Souls under the altar, immediately under the presence of God. And then the seventh dimension is in God's presence. So all these things beyond what we can contact with our see, taste, feel, smell, and hear, there's all kinds of things going on, but we're limited right here. Just limited. The prophet says, one day you'll find out that heaven is no higher than the top of that doorpost right there. He says, just another dimension faster than this. So we just can't get it. The Bible says the angels are encamped around us. Encamped. Not drop down, see what they're doing in church service today and go back. They've pitched their tent. They're here watching over the elect of God. See? So therefore, all these things are going on. Everything is present here. And if we can rest in what the scripture says, then we can pull on a power. The scripture says the angels are here to be ministers for us.
Amen.
Ministers, servants for us. So we limit ourselves by one big word, unbelief. Unbelief. We just don't tap into the things of God as we ought to. And I'm hoping that as we go today, that many of these things will become so clear to you that there will be no more hesitancy to take a hold of what God is and what He is. God is His Word. So when we say God cannot fail, we say amen, thinking of this being up here somewhere. He can't fail. But He's right here. And He, the Word, can't fail. And you know why much of it doesn't work for us is because we start judging it in the light of somebody else's experiences. Oh, but they testified to faith. They claimed this and they claimed that, and nothing happened. It has nothing to do with it. It's an individual walk. It's you and the Word. Makes no difference what happened to somebody else. Remember, Brother Branham said, if I preach divine healing tonight, and 500 people come in the prayer line, and by morning, 500 people are dead, he said, I'll still preach divine healing because it's the Word of God. And so therefore we anchor to the Word. Don't move from the Word. But as soon as that darkness anointing on your thinking can let you enter into a little reasoning, but what about, you've lost it right there. When you anchor to the Word like a seed and plant it down in your heart and won't let it go, it must produce the promise. It must. It cannot fail. Now, just to take the steps through the slides again up to the place where we are today, so that those that weren't with us can go stay where we're coming from. So now, subject, what will we be looking at? Way back before the foundation of the world, we looked at the invisible God all alone with His attributes, a desire to be Savior, Healer, Redeemer, Friend, King, Husband. And now, how do we know He desired to manifest His attributes, as we so often say, and so we found the scriptures to testify to that. Everything was created by Him and for Him. First step, the invisible God desires to make Himself known. The name, very name Jehovah indicates He is one, the invisible one who makes Himself known. And even His thoughts are yet in Him at that time, just as the Son is in the loins of the Father, not yet manifested, not yet made known, not yet manifested. So there was God alone with His thoughts, just like a man with his genes still in him. Hasn't produced any children, hasn't brought anything out from himself. And so then the thought expressed is Word. So the invisible God, when He expressed thought, that came out into the form that the theologians call theophany, which is a word form, and a theophany body, the invisible God has now stepped into a theophany body, which appeared as a cloud by day, a pillar of fire by night. It appeared as a man to Moses. It appeared and so on and so on and so on. He can take on any form, but it's God in a form. So now God can start unveiling Himself because He has a form. He's no longer the invisible God. But this is the important part. He calls that body which he lives in, so it is a manifestation of Himself. He calls that His Son. Now, if that's the first Son, a body through whom God can express Himself, then what's the purpose of every other Son? A body through whom God can express Himself. Amen. So out from the invisible Spirit came this expression of all that was in Him, this expression, the container called theophany, God in a form. The form is called, in the Bible, that's Logos. The Logos is also known as Christ. Then the first creation after forming into the form of Christ is angels to worship Him. Now He is God, which is an object of worship. And now He's God, and now we create heaven and earth. Then we found there was a split, a war in heaven between Michael and Lucifer. And then they were cast to the earth, creating a previous civilization, and now to form Eden on the planet Earth, and then man created in God's image, then man in the image of animal, and then the fall. I don't think we'll get any further than that today. We may not even get into the fall, because the shadows that are there are what I want to linger on. Because if we can catch the shadows of what God is doing, and knowing that God's ways are unchanging, then from there on, everything moves fast because we see how God does it. And the pattern is, God doesn't change His patterns. Genesis chapter 1. We'll pick up right at verse 1. We'll be overlapping from yesterday, from the last service, but I was so hurrying in the last service, I know full well you didn't catch what I was trying to get across. So Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. That's what we spoke about. We don't know when the beginning was. Millions of years ago, billions of years ago, trillions of years ago. We don't know. But way back, whenever that was, God created heaven and earth. Verse 2, now between verse 1 and verse 2 is millions and billions and trillions of years. And then that's where, during that time, between verse 1 and verse 2 was the fall of the angels, was the creation of that previous civilization or civilizations. We don't know what went on all back there. We're not supposed to know, or God would make it clear to us. But anyway, what we do know is the earth was left in a form of judgment, sitting in darkness. Now, so that you'll understand where I'm going, we came into this life under the judgment of what Adam and Eve did. So we came into this life blind to the things of God, our soul in darkness. Are we together? So when we watch God bring earth into an Eden, we're going to then turn around and watch God bring our soul from judgment on out again, because the pattern is identical. Verse 2, and the earth was without form and void, darkness upon the face of the deep. The Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. So now here's the earth sitting there in judgment. Now, for comparison's sake, and we'll come right back to this, so if you want to put a finger or a marker in there, we'll come right back. But let's go now to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, starting at verse 1. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Who's that? Satan. The spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. So the children of disobedience have one anointing, fallen angels, anointing them. Brother Bram said these demons come into a man and give him a nature. So right nature, wrong nature, gives them a nature. And of course, that now is the dominant force in the non-born again person's life. They are under the dominion of the prince of the power of the air. That's why parents soon learn that as their kids are growing up, you don't have to teach them how to lie. You don't have to teach them how to throw an anger temper tantrum. It's just there. Why? Because that's the spirit they're under. And until they're delivered from that, that's the spirit that's anointing them. But like any anointing, when you do what pleases the spirit, you kind of feel happy about it. Are you staying with me? So there's a certain satisfaction whenever you please that spirit. There's kind of a, wow, that's neat. And then afterward, for the child of God, there's something way down inside, but that wasn't right. So now there's a war going on between that deposit of God in those who have a deposit of God and this other nature where you're pulled back and forth. And of course, there is an actual nature on the flesh, because we are sin-born. Sin-born. That's why God says you must be born again. Now we're going to watch the process today. So under the dominion of the prince of the power of the air, verse 3, among whom also we all had our conversation, that's mode of life, behavior, in times past, in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Now, those of you who've studied the message, you know that Brother Branham made that really clear by the time that he says that the farmer just didn't have enough eggs under his hen and he found an eagle's nest with two eggs, so he just took one of the eagle's eggs and put it under the hen. And then that little eagle hatched out under a hen. But because what he hatched out under was a hen, he looked at the hen and thought, I'm one of those. So he tried to act like the chickens act. When they scratched in the manure pile, he scratched in the manure pile. When they drank beer, he drank beer. When they smoked cigarettes, he smoked cigarettes. Why? Because he was identifying with that which he was hatched out under. Right. But then one day, as Brother Ram told the story, he says the great mama eagle came flying over and spotted her little one down there and let out a scream. And he said, something echoed down inside of that little bird. That's what I am. And that's the word of God that comes across under the dominion of the prince of the power of the air. And you think, oh, I'm a smoker, I'm a drinker, I'm a luster, I'm a this, I'm a that, I'm a womanizer. And you kind of find pleasure when you're feeding that spirit. But there's dark side effects, just like medicine. It can help you a little bit. There's dark side effects. God has the natural way. And so this principle then is what we go through, as all of us go through it. Nobody is born into this earth without this dominion over them, except you're being virgin born. How many virgin born ones we got in here? Well, only one, Lord Jesus, see? He bypassed that so that they didn't have that dominion over him, that power of darkness was not over him, see? But because he was in flesh, he felt the pulls of flesh, but he was not under dominion of the power of darkness. Are we staying together? Okay, so now we've got those two. Now, going back to the earth now so we can watch our creation. So in the same way that the earth was sitting under judgment, we come into this life under judgment. Verse 3, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. Now, that is not creation. The sun, moon, and stars were created in verse 1 when God created heaven and earth. So here in verse 3 where he says, let there be light, he's only calling for that which already is to strike the earth. Because, now catch the picture and keep typing it back to your soul. Here's the earth enshrouded in darkness, covered with water, and like an envelope zipped around it where light cannot penetrate. So it's darkness. It's not a foggy day. It's darkness. And then God says, let there be light. Then they unzip the envelope of judgment and move it back, and now light begins to penetrate. Now that's the same thing that as sitting under the preaching of the word, many times that little zipper will come open of that prince of the power of the air, and light begins to penetrate. But now watch, nothing happened yet. The light begins to penetrate. That's day one. God saw that the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness and called the light day, darkness called night. So now we've got the zipper has been opened where it's not total darkness, but as we read on, we've still got problems. We'll read those in a minute. But the light can come through enough that we can recognize whether it's nighttime or daytime, but we still got problems. Let's go. Some more. Verse 6. And God said, let there be a firmament, that's an expanse or heavens, in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. Let's make it simple now. So now we've got the earth enshrouded in this, let's say, heavy fog. We'll call it that for lack of a better word. Got a heavy fog, but light, you know where there's daytime or nighttime in fog, but you can't see. But you can tell where there's day or night. Now he takes this water and he separates, pulls it up above the firmament into clouds, and takes it down below the firmament. And now we've got water all over the earth and clouds above, but we've got an expanse in between. Because we can read later where he says he created the birds to fly in the firmament. So we know where they fly. That's expanse between here and the clouds. So now we've got it opened up. But now typing it back to your soul now, just a minute. When you first begin to believe, you know, I think there is a God. I believe I need a Savior. I don't want to go to hell. I'm not really happy with the direction I've been going. Lord, receive me, and you're baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Now that's justification. Now at justification, you have only believed, the transforming power has not started yet. But you've got enough light to see you were in darkness. Are we together? Okay, now the next step, where he divided the waters from the waters, got an expanse in between. That's like sanctification. You begin to separate from the things of darkness. The fog begins to lift. You begin to separate from the things of darkness, but you're still not far enough along that you can see where your light is coming from. You're just aware that you're walking in a light. You're beginning to get a separated life from the powers of darkness. Don't want to go to the racetrack anymore. Talk about horse racing, gambling. Don't want to go to the bars anymore. Don't want to go to the girly places anymore. It's just, you don't want to. But now the flesh is not changing. It's the inner man. It's the inner man. And you have to keep that straight or you'll walk in condemnation. The flesh man has to be given change, dies, a new body. But the inner man, God works on that. So the inner man doesn't want to. The flesh will still want to. Especially sex things or things that makes it feel good. The flesh will still want to. But the inner man says, man, I don't want to go that way. And if you're not careful, you say, I received Jesus. I thought all this would leave me. No, it changes inside. And the war goes on just like Israel crossing into the promised land. Okay, the land is yours. But in the land, there's other occupiers. And now you got to possess the land. You got to drive back the enemy. That's the same thing. You got to possess this piece of earth. There's other things in here that are contrary to the word of God. And they were there first, just like the inhabitants were in Canaan first. They got first call. Are we staying together? They got first call. But now something else is coming in with a higher power and authority of God to give you dominion over sin, the world, the flesh, and the devil. See? Now, that was second day. third day starts at verse 9. Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and the herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. The evening and the morning were the third day. Now, follow what the scripture has laid out perfect for us to see what's happening here. Now we have pulled back the waters to create oceans, and dry land is now wherever God's putting dry land. And he says, now he calls for the seed to bring forth. He didn't put the seed there. He didn't create the seed there. The seed was already there from that previous creation, that previous civilization. Now, why would it be that way? Because you come into this life with your soul covered over with the prince of the power of the air, darkness. And then you begin to get an exposure to the things of God, and light, God starts diminishing the darkness and increasing the light. And as the light increases, now let me diverge just for a moment. Then I'll come back to that as the light increases. In the wintertime, with cold and snow on the ground and diminished light, nothing comes forth. But as springtime comes and the temperature increases, the temperature rises, and you notice the light intensity increases, bringing more heat. So now in April, May, little delicate plants begin to come forth under this exposure to the warmth of light. But if I were to take that delicate plant, pick it up, and plant it over here underneath an August sun, it would kill it. Because it can't take that kind of light, that kind of heat. So God slowly increases the light, slowly brings the temperature up, so that as the little plant grows, it's accustomizing itself to more light, more heat, more light, more heat, until finally bringing it to maturity. And that's what God has been doing with the churches coming out of the dark ages, just a little bit of light and a little bit of growth, starting with Luther's movement, coming on up through Pentecost up to this age. And therefore, if we would have taken a Lutheran and thrown him in a church and preached to him what we preach, he would have been totally baffled. Because he had nothing to build on. But God has been bringing, increasing the light, increasing the warmth of the presence of God through the church ages until now we are at harvest time. So depending on your crop, let's call it a July or August sunlight that we're bathing in. It's going to bring the crop to maturity. But what crop is it going to bring? Whatever the seed was. The sunlight doesn't change the seed. Whatever the seed was, when God called, let there be light, push back the waters, let the dry land appear, then whatever that seed was, that's what it became. So when we come into this life, that seed, it's already in you. And all the attributes that God wants in you, it's already there. Now, a lot of this is repeat, but I know I've already said it. I'm not getting that old. And that's I know I'm repeating, but I'm wanting to drive it home. It's already there. But just like in a garden, you have to pull the weeds. You have to keep the bugs off of the plants, see? So it's the same way as we're growing up. The bugs try to come in. And things try to affect the health of the plant. Those things have to be dealt with. But still, what's in the seed is what the plant is either going to produce or trying to produce. I'm gonna pause there just for a minute. And because to me, this is extremely important for first to recognize what God is doing and how he's doing it. Now, to let you see it in wording and in brief form now, here's the creation again, but I want to linger on the light on the seed. Okay, the earth was without form and void, darkness over the face of the deep. That's as the earth was standing between verse 1 and verse 2. First day, let there be light, the envelope of darkness opens up. Second day, let there be an expanse, firmament heavens, this fog begins to lift, clouds form, but the earth is still covered with water. Third day, let the waters on earth gather and the dry lands appear. Now we have earth and seas. The seed in the earth responds to the cloud-dimmed light, and grass and herbs and trees begin to come forth. So now let's take our own personal experience up to that point, and then earth under darkness, the envelope breaks in darkness, the water is sitting there over the earth and still dimmed light. God says, let there be light. Then in the process, the light comes to bring forth the seed that's already there. Now, I only told you half of the equation. I said the seed was already there from previous creation. That was that judged element. In your soul, your predestinated soul, you were created. You, the real you, not this fella, but the real you, was created in the mind of God. We'll get to it on the sixth day here. Was created in the mind of God before the foundation of the world. But God had certain other things he wanted to manifest, which we've touched on previously. But that seed of predestination, that one who you really are, that's down inside here. From previous creation. What creation? The mind of God. So the same way that the earth was there in darkness with seed in it from a previous creation, you come to the earth under the judgment because of Adam and Eve's fall, the prince of the power of the air, darkening your soul. But there's a seed of predestination there by pre-creation in the mind of God. And those people who have that seed are the Bible says elect or predestinated or chosen ones. Dr. Schofield, when he brings out talking about predestination, he says, predestination, he says, obviously indicates that the destiny is predetermined. And he says, those who are chosen of God are the elect of God, whose destiny is predetermined. He says, but upon what basis God elects or chooses, we are unclear. Well, it took the message of the hour to bring that out, see? Now, here's Brother Branham's statement from the seals book, fourth seal. I believe every seed was laying right there from some other civilization or something, and as soon as the water lifted off and the light struck it, up come the trees and everything. The same thing with the human being. It's a type. When all the mist is moved away and the revealed truth to that real seed laying in there, still germatized, and the light of the gospel can strike it by true a vindication of the word, it'll live. It's got life in it. Outside of that, it can't live. It has no life in it. Now, Brother Gene was talking on these very same things this morning. I heard him outside the door there going over these things. He didn't know I was going into it, and I didn't know he was going into it. Here's our man. And the outside man has five contacts: see, taste, feel, smell, hear. Inside that man is a spirit being, which becomes more like your intelligence. Imagination, conscious memory, reasoning, and affection are what dictates the way you think. Now, all 10 of these can lie to you. You can imagine things that are not true. You can reason and reach a wrong conclusion. The Bible says, cast down all reasoning. So therefore, all these things that we grow up tending to believe, if I see it, I believe it, even your eyes can lie to you. How many of you have ever driven out west and watched the mirages along the way? Right. See, look, you'd swear there's a lake out there, but when you get there's no lake there. See, your eyes are fooling you. So therefore, all of these can lie to you. Down inside of all that is this soul. Now, the soul has a single inlet that is controlled by, dominated by faith or unbelief. So the down in the soul is the power to choose and let in or reject and not receive. So the single inlet to the soul is free moral agency. You choose what you're going to do in your soul realm. Now, overshadowed over this now is that wrong spirit that we talked about. The dominion of the prince of the power of the air. So your soul, even though it came from God, it's like dormant. It's not dominant in you. That's why God calls for a new birth at the soul level. So you come in by sex birth, by natural birth, you come into this life then under this cloud, this darkness, this dominion of the prince of the power of the air. And then God starts a process bringing you out of that condition. So this represents, we'll say that's the soul. But it's overshadowed, like the world was, by this earthly, worldly nature. And picking up some comments on Brother Branham's tapes, he says the woman by nature wants to dress sexy, wants to cut her hair. Man, he wants to be the big shot. He says it's just in their nature. And along with that nature comes certain attributes: emulation, malice, strife, envy, lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, pride of life, lean to your own intellect. And it's all the worldly nature from the scriptures we read in Ephesians chapter 2. So that's all inborn in you. So parents, when you see your child manifesting those things, you correct them and know that this is not the chosen way. But don't beat them to death. It was in you too before you got born again, see? So it's just there. And you cannot demand a born-again life out of a non-born-again child. Otherwise, you'll drive them right away from the gospel. Many of us parents did that wrong, see? You correct them, you show them the path, you show them what is right, and you hope you can guide them as close to that as possible, but they can't walk it perfectly until the very same life of Christ that's in the Word comes into them. Now, when the revealed Word strikes this soul, it does the same thing. This darkness begins to come back, roll back. And then a new set comes forth out of that attribute, which is the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ is not in your brain, it's in your soul. So the mind of Christ. So down here at the bottom, it says, light brings life, the token. The token is the literal life of Christ. Only the message of the hour can quicken the elect of the hour. You're predestinated to the Jesus of your day, not the Jesus of Nazareth of your day, but to the living word of your day. You're predestinated to that. And that's why maybe you were in a Baptist church, Methodist church, Pentecostal church, or something where you weren't getting exposed to that light. And even though you love the people and maybe even love the pastor and liked a lot of things about it, still you weren't satisfied because you hadn't met your Jesus. That's the revealed word to the day. Then that is light. When God interprets his word by bringing it to pass, that's light when you see it. Now, this mind of Christ that's in the soul, when quickened, matures into the sweetness and mellowness of Christ. Having trouble keeping everything in place there. In it is faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, charity. The potential of it is all in the seed, the potential of it. But it has to become quickening to bring to pass the part that's actually called for in the age. But in this age, it's the whole attribute of the stature of a perfect man. So the fruit of the Spirit, like Brother Branham says, you can't have the fruit of the Spirit without the Spirit. That the fruit of the Spirit's... It said, the fruit of the Spirit's not there, then the Spirit's not there. It's that simple. You say, oh, well, I've got this and I've got that, but I don't have that. If you don't have it, then God's not there. Spirit's not there. I mean, just, you know, face yourself. Don't come up one day and suddenly find, oh, I didn't make it. And I thought I did, because I was 2/3 of the way qualified. Love, joy, meekness, temperance, pace, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. That comes with the Spirit. Amen. Now let me linger just a little while on things about the new birth, and then we'll go on if we... No, we won't have time. I just want to linger on the new birth then. This is now going to take what we've been studying and apply it right to you. Now stay with me. We've only got maybe 15 minutes more, and then we'll go. All right? Hang on. Jesus 3:3, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again. The word born again could also be translated born from above. It is translated that way in other scriptures, born from above. He cannot see the kingdom of God. 1 Peter 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Then 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Now remember, Jesus said, the words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So therefore, as you hear the word, don't lose me. As you hear the word, there's a Spirit of God that comes with it. And that Spirit of God is water on the seed that's there. So as I preach the word, I'm really watering your seed. Are you staying with me? Now, the very thing that keeps you from, let's say, accepting salvation or accepting healing is a demon, a spirit of unbelief that's shadowing over you. Brother Branham said, I would have given my life to the Lord at age 12, he said, except there was a cloud hanging over me because of the crowd I hung around with. Young people, don't miss that one. So he says, so therefore the crowd, the atmosphere he stayed in, kept a cloud over his soul to keep the word, the sunlight of the word from penetrating, starting at age 12. That pull was there. Now, you're recognizing darkness over the earth, darkness over your soul. See, very, very, very same principle. So now, the preaching of the word, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. The preaching of the word, as you sit out there under the anointing of the word, listening to the word, those demon powers have to start scooting. That's God. God says so. They have this. As you start receiving, the demon powers have to start scooting. So the first thing you know, you begin to think about, I'm going to accept Jesus as my Savior. Or, yes, I see that healing is mine.
Amen.
I see it. Now, stay with me. So the word is literally, the preaching of the word drives back those demons of unbelief. Now, whatever it is, it might be healing, might be salvation, could be a million and one things. There's all kinds of promises in the Bible. But whatever it is, it begins to drive back the unbelief, and you begin to say, I see it, I see it. Now, what Brother Branham referred us to was when Elijah was calling for rain, and he sent his servant upon the hill, what do you see out over the ocean? He said, I see a cloud the size of a man's hand. And Elijah says, I hear the abundance of rain. A cloud the size of a man's hand. So Brother Ram says, now here it is. Now catch this. When you're sitting under the preaching of the word and you've been wanting to get a hold of something from God and you see just a cloud the size of a man's hand, I see it. He says, then don't let it go. Don't go out and reason it away. Don't go out and forget it. Hang on to that cloud and it will become the storm. It'll bring the rain. It'll bring to pass exactly what you want in your life. Don't let it go. Now we're talking about being born again. 1 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Galatians 6:15. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. The word there is also creation. Revelations 3:14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. The beginning of the creation of God. That was Jesus Christ coming into flesh, the Word being made flesh. That was the beginning of God creating Himself in flesh. It started in Jesus, it's finishing in us. Creation of God. The super race. Brother Branham called it. So therefore, there is going to be a God in flesh race. Now, many people say, oh, well, the Hindus teach stuff like that and the others teach stuff like that. Yeah, but what they're believing, the word that they're believing it based on won't produce what the Bible will produce. They may have a truth, but they may have it in error because they try to put it in every human being on earth. It's not in every human being. All the Father has given to me will come to me. Not one will be lost out of my hand. Not one will be lost out of my hand. Not one will be lost out of my hand. Is all of heaven and earth going to be saved? I mean, all everybody on earth going to be saved? No. So therefore, God has chosen some because all the Father's given me will come. So your mind is an enemy of God, Colossians 1:21. You are without strength, impotent, powerless, disabled, feeble, Romans 5:6. You are dead because you are separated from life, poor, wretched, miserable, blind, naked, and may not even know it. Ephesians 2:1, Colossians 2:13, Revelations 3:17. Without the new birth, you cannot obey the word, you cannot understand the word, you cannot please God, you cannot see the kingdom, you cannot enter the kingdom. It takes a new birth. Without the new birth, you are under the dominion of the prince of the power of the air. Your spirit is not of God. Women want to dress sexy, men want to be macho, big shots. You are led by your own outer two realms. What is the new birth? It is the quickening of that seed predestinated already in you. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ personally to you. Christ, the Bible, He is the Word that's revealed to you. It's Christ in you, and that's the revelation that the church was built upon. Without the new birth again, if you are justified and sanctified only, there's three steps to a natural birth, water, blood, and spirit. Three steps to the spiritual birth, water, blood, and spirit. Justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost. So if you are justified only, you will be here for the tribulation. You will miss the millennium. You will die a martyr's death. You will receive life at the white throne judgment. If you are not, number one, justified and sanctified, you will be here for the tribulation. You will miss the millennium. You will, after being judged at the white throne judgment, be cast into the lake of fire. I don't think the choices are very broad here. With the new birth, you are sealed into eternal life. His life takes the preeminence in your life. You are the last Adam's Eve. You are queen to the king. You will rule and reign with him in the millennium, 1,000-year reign with a new birth. What is the result of the new birth? It is Christ expressing himself in the individual, whether he's intellectual or whether he don't know his ABCs. The evidence of the Holy Ghost is when you can receive the word, not some system, but have a clear understanding. How do you know the word's clear understand? Watch it vindicate itself. Now, what kind of vindication? See, with Pentecostal thinking, we always think, well, we've got to have signs, wonders, and miracles following our life. The vindication is you see your life and your attitudes lining to the word. You face a situation and all of a sudden you handle it in a mild, mellow way. And you say, wow, just a few weeks ago, I would have blown my top. I would have done this. I would have done that. And now, wow, boy, that's different. That's not like me at all. But who is it? It's Christ in you. Amen. See, you see your life conforming to the very nature of Christ himself. Amen. Now, as we were preaching, how many felt they saw a cloud the size of a man's hand about something in your life? Amen. There's some. All right. See, now don't let it get away from you. It will bring the abundance of rain. See, don't let go of the cloud. Just if you've sensed it now under this anointing, under this atmosphere, under the presence of the word, it's yours. Amen. Don't let it go. Don't let Satan reason you out of it. Amen. I enjoyed this morning. Praise be to God. Let's pray. Jeff, you want to come on up? Musicians, you can come up. Lord Jesus, we love you so much. We thank you for what you're doing. We thank you that we have been inheritors of the saints, with the saints in light, that the power of darkness has been driven back from most everybody in this sanctuary. Some, Lord, are still battling. They get exposed to the light, step back into the darkness, get exposed to the light, step back into the dark. God, may they make their decisions. Yes. For one day, they'll not be able to decide anymore. May they make their decision and say, I am going to walk in light. Yes. To bring forth that seed that's in me into full maturity. In Jesus' name, amen.